Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
The First United Methodist Church podcast is recorded live every week at 4832 Tahunga Avenue in North Hollywood, California. Thank you for downloading.
Good morning. Today's scripture comes from Acts 5, verses 27 through 32. And it starts in the middle of a scene, so I just want to clarify that them is the apostles. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us." Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." The Lord bless the reading of his word.
Pray with me if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. Amen. Scholars tell us that the text is part of a larger setting, actually beginning in verse 17, which is the account of the first arrest of the apostles for teaching of Jesus and healing in his name. The religious leaders here in this setting are even more threatened and are seeking a trial and violence against the apostles. The interesting thing about the text is it refers to the leaders as the Jews. And it's important that we understand that Peter and his followers, along with Paul and his followers, were Jews. They weren't Methodists. They weren't Catholic. We make this a religious debate with regard to the execution of Jesus, and it was, in fact, a state issue. The instrument of death by which Jesus was executed was known only in the Roman Empire, and it's important that we note these elements simply because people have used this for anti-Semitic thought and talk and behavior. The exchange between Peter and the high priest is pretty sharp, as noted in the reading. Some scholars believe that Luke, the author of Luke and Acts, the book of Acts, is building the tension between the temple and the early church to prepare for the mission to the Gentiles, the non-Jewish folks who were invited in. Luke sets the tone by the way he constructs the question of the high priest. You remember? She just read it. "We gave you strict orders, and yet you fill the temples with the teaching and healing of Jesus." Peter's response is pretty straightforward. "We obey God, not humans." The difficulty with this is the whole question of what religiosity looks like. So the statement is, don't act too religious. People will either assume you are mentally imbalanced or expect you to give them stuff, money, housing, goods, services, healing. It's a difficult thing. What does it mean to act religious? We all know, or at least have some sense of this in our own hearts and minds. Do we pray over meals? Well, I have, going all the way back to youth, growing up. The issue for me growing up was how fast I could say the prayer that I was demanded to say. You know, that old prayer, God is great, God is good. Only I could do it in about a nanosecond. Now, while for many years I would pray aloud over meals, no, I didn't get up on the table and sing the doxology. I say that because I've known people who do that. Of late, the last several years, I bow my head and pray silently. Not because I'm ashamed of praying in public. I do all the time. But it just fits me in my own spiritual development. Years ago when I was in seminary, I had a fellow graduate student. We were part of a peer counseling group, meaning that we... some of us used it as a time of listening and sharing, and one fellow, I'll call him Mike Wolf because that's actually his name. He used it as a time to critique us, and I remember specifically being annoyed because in the first place, I had to get up at 6:30 in the morning to make these 8 o'clock meetings, and I'm not real happy about being up and about that early. I don't mind the sunrise. I just wish it would come about midday. And here I was at about 7 o'clock or 7:30 in the morning, and Mike is talking about what it takes to be an effective minister. And he says to me in a group, a small group, I think there were 6 of us, that I would never be taken seriously by anybody I served because I wore a full beard and people don't trust people who have facial hair. And I thought, that really discounts people's ability to accept and appreciate others. Those of you who have known me a long time know why I shaved off my full beard and just have the mustache, because I got tired of looking at this guy who has white hair on his face in the mirror. So I kept that beard. And in 1995, I did 2 things that people thought I had lost my mind. The first was I stopped wearing robes and stoles. And principally, I stopped because it wasn't something that fit my tradition. You'll find Methodist ministers who wear very serious vestments and do high liturgic stuff. I'm not one of them. The other thing I did is I grew my hair back. I was 45, and I was just wanted to see if I could still grow my hair. I had had my hair long when I was young, worked for the city of Anaheim part-time for a few years while I was in school. And when I stopped doing that, I thought I was in my 5th year here, and a couple of people said, "Have you lost it?" And I said, "No, I'm just an old guy wanting longer hair," and that's it. There's some of the oldest members of the church were the most accepting, strangely enough. But for some strange people, for some strange reason, I'm the strange people. For some strange reason, some people thought maybe that was Freudian. People affiliated these change in behaviors and looks with a change in religiosity. And I don't think so. But sometimes that's how we act. The call and claim in this text, at least as I see it, has less to do with religious teaching than with faithfulness, how we believe we are called to live and move and breathe as people of faith. And that's what the apostles are saying. We respond to the God in our heart. It's It was interesting to hear about Siskel and Ebert. I grew up watching these guys, and some I read in at least two obituaries how some serious film scholars thought Roger Ebert's thumbs up and thumbs down was kind of silly, and others thought it was the most easily accessible evaluation of a film. The other thing that came to mind, and I know nothing about his upbringing in terms of faith, but as I read his own words, he spoke about film criticism and the viewing of film as almost an act of faith, meaning that he poured everything he had into this. In the last year, he had to have known that his health was terrible. He was on his third or fourth bout of recovery from cancer surgery that took his ability to eat and his ability to speak, but never his ability to think. And I wondered where this came from. And it seems that some of it was imbued by his father. His father was an electrician and a handyman for the University of Chicago. And he would go into professors' offices to fix things, electrical, mechanical, whatever it was. And he came and he told Roger, when Roger wanted to learn how to work with his hands and fix things, and he said, "No, I want something better for you. I work on this campus, and I see these professors, and they, all they do is they think, and they write, and they read, and that's the life I want for you." And so it is. He had this wonderful contemplative life. Last year, as ill as he was, he saw over 330 films. That's a dedication. That's seeing film as something spiritual, regardless of what his theology may or may not have been. We are not called to act religious. We are called to be faithful to the gift we have inside of us and to live towards it. There's an article yesterday in yesterday's Daily News written by Kevin Smith. No, that's the wrong one. That's one on Jobs. And this one, where is it? By Bob Strauss of the Daily News. It's Aid for the Lost. And the story is about philanthropic organization, a 501c3 nonprofit called the Survivor Mitzvah Project. Is a Los Angeles-based nonprofit that delivers cash, aid, and caring communication to elderly Holocaust survivors in Eastern Europe. And as the article goes on, also in Southern California. And these are folks who were displaced by the Holocaust. And it's fitting that it appeared yesterday, because today is Yom HaShoah, which remembers the 6 million Jews lost to the Nazi terror. I just want to read this one. The two people who are the face of the organization is Mr. Chick Walk and Ms. Zane Bixby, and they work together to help dispense these funds. And it's today at where is it? I'm looking at it. Yeah, at Mount Sinai Memorial Park Mortuary and Mortuary in Simi Valley. They'll kick off the year-long 6 million coins fundraising drive for survivor care. And the article talks about this as a tool for remembering something that for many people who want to forget, but there are thousands upon thousands of people who were displaced for so many years, and now they're aged, don't have income, don't have family, and they not only need money, they need notes that say, we remember, we care, we love you. And the one quote from Busby, some of the lines were like, these are the responses, your letter was a ray of sunshine in the darkness. This is a gift from destiny. And she said, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that what little we're doing makes such a difference. And that's what we think. We think it has to be great, huge things. It's not. It's little turns of phrase, a note, in modern parlance, a text. I still handwrite plenty of notes, though. And simple acts of kindness make a huge difference. Close with a thought. I've been reading, I'm not yet finished with the autobiography that the Dalai Lama wrote with his co-writer. And the Dalai Lama has been, it's important that we note that he's been displaced for over 50 years from his homeland, still considered the both political and religious leader of Tibetan Buddhism. But in his book, he speaks of himself not as the Dalai Lama, but as a simple Tibetan monk. And most of us would say, not so simple, a complex, creative man. But he says, it's important for me to see myself not as a religious leader, but as somebody who's called spiritually into service. And so it is for each of us. God claims and calls us in unique ways. You have an opportunity this afternoon to put together care kits for people. And these care kits are not given with a sermon and a slap of the Bible. They're just given because we can do something to make a difference in the world. Small things. And I know some of us still give money at those who ask for it. But a gesture I have stolen from somebody who does this probably more frequently than I will give a dollar or two, but I always look the person in the eye as best I can and I ask them their name. And then I repeat their name and say, pay this forward. There will come a time when you too can give something back, and life won't be like it is. I think it's important that we understand that it doesn't have to be grand gestures. It can be a simple coin. It can be a care. It can be a note. Somebody pops into your head, and you think, I wonder how they're doing. Well, don't wonder. Pick up the phone and ask them, or write a note and tell them that you're thinking about them. It's as simple as that. That's what religious is, not closed off in prayer, but opening up to the possibilities of being faithful. May it ever be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the North Hollywood First United Methodist Church Sermon Podcast, delivered by Dr. Joey McDonald. For more information, please check out nohomethodistchurch.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter under NoHoFUMC.